Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Eisenhower Soldier and President is a single-volume biography of Dwight D. Eisenhower by Stephen E. Ambrose, one of the best-known historians of 20th century America. The book presents Eisenhower as both a wartime commander and a peacetime president, tracing how his military experience shaped his political judgments and public style. Ambrose relies on extensive research and interviews, including material from Eisenhower himself, to create a portrait that is broad in scope but still readable for non-specialists. The biography gives special attention to Eisenhower's role as Supreme Commander in Europe during World War II, and then follows him into the presidency, where he faced early Cold War tensions, civil rights pressures, nuclear strategy, defense spending debates, and the challenge of managing alliances. Rather than treating Eisenhower as a remote symbol, the book examines his relationships, habits of leadership, and the practical constraints that shaped his decisions. It is both a military biography and a presidential study, aimed at showing how one man handled power in two very different arenas. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Eisenhower as Supreme Commander in the European Theater. One of the book's central concerns is Eisenhower's wartime leadership, especially his role as Allied Supreme Commander in Europe. Ambrose presents this period as the foundation of Eisenhower's historical significance, because it tested his ability to coordinate armies, manage strong personalities, and sustain a coalition under immense pressure. The book emphasizes that his success was not based on battlefield heroics alone, but on administrative control, diplomatic balance, and judgment about timing and priorities. This makes the military sections more than a chronicle of operations. They become a study in command at coalition scale. Eisenhower had to work with British, American, and Free French leaders, each with different aims and sensitivities. While keeping the larger strategic goal in view, Ambrose uses this setting to show Eisenhower's particular strength. He could absorb conflict without being consumed by it, and could make large decisions without losing sight of the human and political costs. The result is a portrait of leadership defined by steadiness, coordination, and restraint rather than by dramatic personal flair. Secondly, how wartime command shaped a presidential style built on restraint. The biography argues implicitly that Eisenhower's presidency cannot be understood apart from his military career. Ambrose shows a leader who carried into the White House the habits of an organizer and coalition manager, not a doctrinaire ideologue. That background helped him project calm, but it also meant he often preferred indirect control, careful timing, and limited public confrontation. In the presidential chapters, this becomes crucial for understanding his responses to crises and domestic disputes. Eisenhower frequently appears as someone who valued stability, delegation, and strategic silence, when louder intervention might have satisfied immediate critics. Ambrose's treatment suggests that this style was not passivity. It was a deliberate method suited to governing a large and divided country during the early Cold War. The book is especially useful in showing how a leader trained in war can adapt military habits to civilian government, while avoiding the mistake of treating politics like command. Eisenhower's presidential style, as presented here, is therefore an extension of his wartime discipline, but one adapted to constitutional limits, public opinion, and the need to preserve broad legitimacy. Thirdly, managing the early Cold War nuclear weapons, communism, defense, and alliances. A major theme in the biography is Eisenhower's presidency during the first phase of the Cold War. Ambrose highlights the strategic dilemmas created by nuclear weapons, Soviet competition, and the demand to maintain strong national defense without allowing military commitments to dominate the federal government. Eisenhower's world was one in which arms expenditures, budget discipline, and global credibility had to be balanced at the same time. The book presents him as a president who understood that American power depended not only on force but also on restraint and credibility. This is why discussions of communism, atomic policy, and alliance building recur throughout the presidential narrative. Ambrose also notes Eisenhower's interest in broader international cooperation, including the idea of a more integrated Europe. That detail matters because it shows him thinking strategically beyond immediate crises. The Cold War sections therefore portray Eisenhower not simply as an anti-communist leader, but as a statesman trying to define how an industrial democracy could remain secure without undermining its own fiscal and political foundations. The tension between power and prudence is one of the book's most important interpretive lines. Fourthly, the personal network behind the public figure. Ambrose gives considerable attention to the people around Eisenhower because the biography treats personal relationships as essential to understanding his public decisions. Mamie Eisenhower, John Eisenhower, and Kay Summersby appear not as side details, but as part of the emotional and social environment in which Eisenhower lived and worked. The same is true of the major political and military figures who surrounded him, including Roosevelt, Churchill, De Gaulle, Truman, Nixon, Dulles, Khrushchev, and McCarthy. By placing Eisenhower in this dense web of relationships, Ambrose shows that leadership was never an isolated act. It depended on trust, persuasion, loyalty, and the ability to navigate competing expectations. This approach helps explain why Eisenhower often seemed reserved in public. Much of his governing work took place through relationships. Private judgment and careful management of personalities. The biography also uses these connections to humanize a figure who is sometimes remembered only as a benign president or a victorious general. Ambrose makes clear that Eisenhower's life was shaped by obligations, affection, and tension, and that those forces influenced how he led in both war and peace. Lastly, a balanced biography that favors interpretation over institutional detail, the book stands out as a broad interpretive biography rather than a technical institutional history. Ambrose focuses on Eisenhower the man, his decisions, and the contexts in which he operated, rather than on a detailed reconstruction of every procedure inside the Pentagon or the White House. That choice gives the narrative clarity and momentum, and it makes the book accessible to readers who want a serious but not specialized account. At the same time, it means the biography is strongest when it explains leadership, character, and decision-making, and somewhat less comprehensive when readers want a deep study of government machinery. This balance is important because it defines the book's value and its limits. Ambrose is less interested in compiling a procedural record than in answering what kind of leader Eisenhower was and why he mattered in two major national roles. For many readers, that is exactly what makes the biography effective. It offers a coherent portrait of a figure who moved from war to presidency without losing his central traits. And it does so in a narrative that combines scholarship with readability. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers of presidential biography, World War II history, and leadership studies who want a full but approachable account of Eisenhower's public life. It offers practical value for readers interested in coalition management, strategic restraint, civil-military balance, and the challenges of governing during the early Cold War. It also has intellectual value for anyone trying to understand how military command can influence civilian leadership without fully determining it. What distinguishes it from many other Eisenhower biographies is its one-volume's scope, combined with Ambrose's use of extensive research and interviews, which gives the narrative both authority and accessibility. Rather than isolating Eisenhower as only a general or only a president, the book connects those identities and shows how each shaped the other. Readers who want a clear sense of how mid-20th century American power worked and how Eisenhower navigated both war and peace will find this biography especially rewarding. It is not primarily a study of institutions, but of leadership under pressure, and that focus is what gives the book its lasting appeal. If you would like to support Stephen E. Ambrose, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.